Hello all, my name is Kylie Mitchell. I'm here with three fellow peers of mine, Jada Parrish, Justice Shelton, and Sierra Kane. We shall be discussing the media and social media rules in elections. First, we have Sierra taking us way back to the 18th century. Take it away, Sierra.
Hey guys, it's Sierra, and I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about the history of advertising and media in the U.S. So first, we're basically going to start with the year 1704, which was the year that the first newspaper advertisement was published. This advertisement was published in the Boston Newsletter, which then gained the reputation of holding most of the ads that you would see at that time. The ad that was published was actually someone looking for a buyer to buy Oyster Bay. So we're going to jump 90 years later. So you can see how it affected the political points of U.S. history. So in the 1790s and 1820s, the Federalist Party and the Democrat-Republican Party battled in the first party system. Background information, the first party system is two parties, which at that time were Hamilton and Jefferson, campaigning for presidency. And during this campaign, as of any campaign that we see now or dating forward, is that you want to make your opponent look bad in certain ways, or you want to promote yourself in better light. So after the first party system, mass campaigning began to be very popular. So political parties would use newspapers and posters to like give their opposing party a bad reputation. And you can really see this in the political cartoons. If you look back to any election, you can see like hidden messages about the opponents that political parties will use so that they can, in a way, like get the vote for people.
So to sum up, Sierra, people were biased back then, 3 centuries ago, when it came to politics and elections.
Yes, you can say that media history was very biased. It was biased towards white American males. It was built off of relevance and reputation and who was more important in society.
But that's really how media and advertising was used. It just started with newspaper ads and people looking for homes and really simple stuff to people using it for their personal gain. In their career. So I'm going to send it to Justice so he can talk to you guys basically about media now and how that impacted the U.S. history.
Alrighty, so just like my fellow co-stars have mentioned, campaign ads have been around in within media for a long time, but more specifically, campaign ads first touched television in the summer of 1952, which was almost 70 years ago, if you think about it. and it first touched TV when Dwight D. Eisenhower met with the advertising hotspot, quote-unquote, Russell Reeves, and he wanted to discuss how he could change his military fame into a political campaign, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he was running for president around that time. He obviously ended up losing. So he was a military personnel, had been in the military for quite some time before he decided he wanted to run for whichever office he was running for. But yeah, that was the only reason it was even brought up. And then Rosser was the one who actually turned him on to the what they called a dramatic new approach of television. But if you think about it, nowadays, the ads we see on TV and like Instagram and Twitter are most of the times 1 minute and 30 seconds, I believe, is the new time. But back then, since TV was so limited and it was kind of like a special thing, like if you had a TV, you were most likely considered rich. They had a 30-second advertising campaign Whereas, like I said, nowadays they're a lot longer. They're like a minute or so longer. But yeah, you definitely can see how much we've evolved since in this past almost 70 years with voting ads on TV. And it's getting a lot. It's improving, but it's also kind of messy because it's like with all the technology we have, opponents are able to edit their opponent's words and switch it to something that makes it sound bad when in reality they were talking about something completely different.
So Justice, people aren't just being biased, but are sometimes not being truthful with the information they're delivering.
All right, that is exactly what I'm saying, Sierra. So politicians and people, just like people in that line of work in general, are typically known to fabricate words of their opponents so that it will try to sway someone's opinion of them and make somebody vote for them or pick them over somebody else, which I personally do not believe is right. So that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes, people, they're not just being biased, but they are being not truthful with the information they're delivering. I personally believe the media is supposed to be completely honest and just give off the information you need that you need to win. That's all you need to do. And that's definitely something that we're seeing a lot now with the presidential candidates, Joe Biden and Trump. But yeah, the technology is definitely improving and is, I mean, it's a catch 22, to be completely honest. All right, so we'll send it back to Kylie to break down the role and use of media in elections.
Hey guys, it's me again. I want to start off by saying I think we can all agree that the media has changed the game, guys. We're way past just newspapers and old political cartoons from which Sierra described earlier. It has come to the point where it's crucial to campaigning, informing, and electing. There are lots of things that the media, and don't forget social media, can do when it comes to elections. My group and I have derived 5 main roles when it comes to media and social media in elections. The first is educating the public. The second is giving the public a platform to express their concerns and opinions and etc. The third is giving political parties a platform to express their message. The fourth is reporting results and observing voting counting. And the fifth and final one is allowing the parties and campaigns to debate with each other. I found this article titled Social Media and Political Contributions, The Impact of New Technology on Political Competition, and it talks about political newcomers being able to get a substantial boost in support by using social media channels, like Twitter, for example. I think it's very convenient for those politicians to just be able to download an app, a social media app, for free and gain supporters. And there they can express their message and campaign further, like one of the main roles. Also, I'd like to speak just a bit about campaign ads. They are everywhere, especially during presidential elections. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, television programs, you don't even have to look for them. They find you. Some ads are about candidates expressing their messages. Others are about candidates explaining why other candidates are not fit to be elected. Like Justice and Sierra stressed before, they can appear biased and a bit untrustworthy. We'll move on to Jada now to talk about the science of a campaign ads.
Hi, so far you have heard my other peers talk about the purpose, voting ads, and the history of media. So for mine, we're talking about political ads and the science behind it. This was another form of campaigning. It was introduced in 1980s. The purpose of these ads are used to persuade the audience and influence their debates. Former President Barack Obama spent roughly $22.25 million on political ads. This number has increased, with Donald Trump spent about $1.4 billion. So the science behind these political ads was to persuade the audience. So psychologists and political scientists are studying campaign ads and coming up with these results. Negative ads might make more thoughtful voters than positive ones. Media studies have shown that does not get a lot of people vote like door knocking did. But from the results, they have discovered that negative ads seems to work better than the positive ones. Campaign staff use these tactics of to make people feel fear through like the music they use and pictures, and also putting their other opponent down in votes. These ads spark emotion, which helps people remember the feel that they got from these ads. So with the positive ads, they create reassurance and also reaffirm that they are in comfort of the other opponent. So in the end, that campaigns use positive ads when they're ahead in the game and negative ads when they're behind in the game. So that way they can pull votes from the other opposing side.
Thank you all so much for listening.